Hello, my name is Mara Soteria, and welcome to You Don't Know About, the podcast where I learn something I don't know about. Enjoy!
Hi, my name is Mara Soteria, and this is You Don't Know About. Blah. I don't know about professional wrestling. All my guy friends talk about it. So I asked my friend Benel to tell me a little about professional wrestling because he's kind of an expert. Benel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Benel Jamelson. I am a comedian and professional wrestler. I have been a fan of professional wrestling since I was 7 years old, starting with my love of Bret Hart and the WWF, and then expanding to the weird subculture of independent professional wrestling. So I'm excited to teach you one or two things about professional wrestling.
Cool. I'm excited. Okay. So, teach me something. Ooh, ask me a question. Test me.
Okay, sure. Let me see what you know. Mara, who or what is Jushin Thunder Liger?
Did you say Jushin Thunder Liger?
Jushin Thunder Liger, the world famous Liger, professional wrestling Big Ben.
Jushin Thunder Liger. What did you say?
It's Jushin Thunder Liger.
I still heard Liger.
Yeah, you still hear. Liger. Liger. A
combination Liger.
Of lion. Liger is a lion and a tiger.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the, you know how the word luge is German for liar? Okay, Liger. Liger.
Oh, Jushin Thunder Liger? This guy really lies.
He lies with all the fury of the thunder of the universe.
Man, he really, he told me he knew Dame Edna, and then I heard like a crackle of thunder.
We're superpower ever. Every time
okay,
you
first of all, who lies about knowing Dame Edna? Like that is
you brought it up, man.
Yeah. First of all, he brought it up apropos of nothing. Second of all, he looked at us for a while, like, and then we had to Google who Dame Edna was. So
okay, who is Jushin Thunder Liger?
Jushin Thunder Liger is a cartoon character. Literally. He is played by Kichi Yamada and debuted in 1984 as another wrestler entirely. He was given the character of Jushin Thunder Liger in association with a popular television series at the time for New Japan Professional Wrestling. New Japan is the Japanese version of the WWE, pretty much. It's a huge company. I believe the second biggest professional wrestling company in the world, worldwide, and is known for its more sports-like approach to the art form.
And some of the wrestlers are cartoon characters?
Sometimes. And even as to recently, sometimes they have partnerships with various TV companies to promote their products. One company created a professional wrestler called Tiger Mask as part of a cartoon series that was cross promoted with New Japan Professional Wrestling. That Tiger Mask eventually became the legendary Tiger Mask, who transcended professional wrestling and the television series.
The Tiger Mask. Just the mask.
The Tiger Mask, yeah.
Like, is it a luchador mask? Is it a...
It's very similar. Professional wrestling in Japan has a very interesting international history behind it, starting from post-World War II with the first Japanese professional wrestling superstar, Riki Choshu, who secretly was Korean. Yeah, Riki Choshu was secretly Korean and emigrated to Japan, but he became sort of like the Japanese equivalent, not even the Japanese equivalent to a role. Someone like Harley Race or Lucas or Bruno Sammartino, if you're a New Yorker, which is he is the national hometown hero. So Riki Choshu, despite not being Japanese, was kind of seen as a Japanese national icon for professional wrestling and used his platform to promote the sport. Over the years, there has been a wonderful cultural diffusion amongst professional wrestling between Japanese professional wrestlers, Britain, U.S., and Mexico. The Mexican style actually was translated into the Japanese culture with stuff like Toriumon and a more lucha libre style wrestling than you see in Japan. Some wrestlers in Japan actually spend years in Mexico learning Spanish and Mexican lucha libre.
Whoa! So it's like, it's kind of, oh man, it's kind of the opposite of Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely. Whereas Brazilian jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts in general kind of exports their technique to other places. A lot of wrestling imports techniques from other places.
Mm.
Specifically in Japan, where the idea is a wrestler, the Japanese professional wrestling system is very interesting in that it is treated less like a thing you do on the weekend, and it's more like a vocational school.
Like sumo.
Exactly like sumo, almost taking the similar structure of sumo and applying it to professional wrestling. Young wrestlers work in the dojo 7 days a week.
Cool.
They do a lot of the basic labor for professional wrestling companies. When they start, they just go by their regular name. They are given a very limited, what is called in wrestling, moveset. And the idea is they will be known as young boys. It's a great name because all the wrestlers, especially like my favorite thing in Japanese professional wrestling is bastardized English. Because they'll fucking, it's Japan, they'll pepper it in wherever they can. So my favorite fucking thing is when an older professional wrestler, a pro wrestling senpai, would sort of fold their arms and go, young boy. In a very menacing Japanese tone. It's my favorite fucking thing in the world, and I do it all the time to my cat. Like, I do it all the time.
Young boy.
Young boy. So professional wrestlers in Japan started for like the first 2 years of their career. They wear black trunks, black boots, and they go out and they have very simple matches, and it is to show them how to work in front of an audience. They are then, many of them are then sent on excursion, which means for a period of time they'll go live somewhere else and learn professional wrestling from other places.
Mm-hmm.
Usually Mexico, sometimes Britain, occasionally America, but the idea is for them to gain more job experience. So when they return, they will return with a full character and a storyline and an angle. It is the idea that you work your way up to being featured more and more prominently in professional wrestling.
I have two points on that. Oh, man. Well, it's first of all, like you and I both know, that's similar to being a road comic, you know?
It very much is. There's a great breadth of similarities to professional wrestling and comedy.
And the other thought I was, there is a German tradition of carpentry. When I was a younger person, I was backpacking around Southeast Asia. I was in the Philippines. I was in a hostel. I came across, there was this man wearing like a big black pair of overalls. He was a German man wearing overalls and a fedora with a little feather in it. And we asked him, like, what is that, man? Are you going to do a little dance? Which is rude.
Yeah, that is incredibly rude.
There were some costumey ass overalls, man. They were like,
it was like the German kid from The Simpsons, like that.
Like Uter? No, even worse than that. Like they were black. It was like bell bottomed. They were had sequins. It looked like a 1970s costume. Like, anyway, what he explained to us in broken English was that there's this German tradition to fully get this particular carpenter license. You have to travel so many kilometers, maybe a few hundred kilometers from your home, work as a carpenter there, a few hundred kilometers from that, work as a carpenter there. And that was...
Yeah, so the way you would get this license is essentially to...
Service.
Just consistently work other places.
I guess. I'll have to look this up. Sorry.
Well, that brings to mind another thing about Japanese professional wrestling, which it seems to be what we're focusing on, is in Japanese professional wrestling, before you're allowed to become a wrestler in the context of actually working matches, you have to pass an exam.
That's fun.
There is a professional wrestling exam in Japan.
Do they need number two pencils?
Some places they do have a written exam.
Is it a standardized test? Do I need to bubble in my squares?
I don't know if Japanese, if the Japanese schooling system have Scantron, but that would be very interesting.
Scantrons for young boys.
I mean, that would be very, very interesting to take a professional wrestling written exam. Like, what's the word problems you would find in, like, professional wrestling?
Jake the Snake has 500 apples. Yeah, I don't know.
Your tag team partner uses 3/4 of your body clip.
I like it. Can you give me another fact?
Sure, I'll give you another fact. The Japanese wrestling promotion DDT has, as of now, 1,479 champions, title holders of their Iron Man Heavy Metalweight Championship.
Okay.
Can you list me some of the more interesting champions?
Can I name some Japanese wrestling champions?
Can you name three?
Nintendo Nagasaki, Toshiba Subaru, Toyota Honda. Oh, wait.
Incorrect.
I don't know. I don't know these people's names. Emperor Hirohito.
No, here's the thing. You could have named Chair.
Could have named Chair? Okay. Chair.
Chair. Dog.
Dog.
Ladder.
Ladder.
Blow up doll.
These are their names? These are their wrestling names? This is Chair?
They're not wrestlers. It's actually a chair, a ladder, and a blow-up doll.
Are the champions. They declared Chair the winner.
Ladder has been considered a three-time champ. The Iron Heavy Metalweight Championship, DDT's Iron Heavy Metalweight Championship, is a comedic wrestling title. Contested under 24/7... 365 rules, whereby a wrestler can lose the title by pinfall or submission anytime a referee is present before, during, after, and sometimes not even on days of the show. Champions include Reddit. The entire website of Reddit. A dog. A janitor, a literal taxi driver.
Wait, by pinning these people?
Exactly. On a poster.
Wait, how did Reddit pin a person?
Someone put a laptop on somebody's chest who was unconscious and the champion at the time, and the referee counted the three count.
Oh, okay. So like someone got drunk, passed out, and their dog went on top of them, and someone snapped a picture and said, "Dog is
actually pin- in more wrestling." More than once, the audience of a wrestling show has won the DDT Iron Heavy Metalweight Championship.
Audience, go audience, everyone's a winner.
The entire audience has won. Comedian Ron Funches won it at San Diego Comic-Con in 2016.
Ooh.
Spider-Man, someone cosplaying as Spider-Man has won it also in the same San Diego Comic-Con.
Wait, how were they unconscious? Were they, like, passed out drunk in a hotel room?
Basically, anytime you can be pinned for a three count.
Pinned for?
Or put in a submission hold, you can lose the title. As long as there's a referee present. One thing you may not know about, one thing a lot of people know about professional wrestling is its performative nature. And you might not know this, but since wrestling is sort of an avant-garde art form, it is the structure of a professional wrestling match is really broken and rebroken to give the audience something new. So there has been professional wrestling matches with no ring. Probably one of the more well-known practitioners of a no-ring professional wrestling match is Brooklyn-based Casanova Valentine. My comedy show, Brooklyn Battle Comedy, occasionally has no-ring wrestling matches.
Plug! This is a plug. Plug. No-ring wrestling. No-ring wrestling.
But wrestling has also happened in the context of a wrestler against no one. Two wrestlers not touching.
Tantric wrestling? We just breathe at each other.
They grapple social distancely.
Oh, smart. Okay. Healthy wrestling.
Wrestling has happened with no wrestlers present.
It was actually just a game of Settlers of Catan.
No, it's two invisible wrestlers.
You can't see me. You can't see me. Sounds like a dude just hallucinating. Like, oh.
Ironically, the only thing a wrestling match apparently needs is a referee present.
So a lonely ass referee can be like, oh, here's a wrestling match.
There's a great match.
My sandwich versus my milk. Go.
2016 Joey Janela's Spring Break. Bryce Redford refereed a match between two invisible wrestlers, making it the first double wrestling match with no wrestlers present.
Can I become a referee so I can just declare everything in my apartment a wrestling match?
Absolutely.
How do I become a wrestling referee?
Things like DDT and DDT precursor Hustle were.
What is DDT?
Professional wrestling as more than just
what is DDT?
DDT is a Japanese promotion, Dramatic Dream Team, started by Shintaro Muto.
Got it. I thought you were talking about the pesticide. I'm like, okay.
There is a pesticide. It's also a move in professional wrestling called the DDT.
Okay.
But in Japanese professional wrestling, it stands for Dramatic Dream Team.
Got it.
The Japanese promotion DDT is structured less like a professional wrestling show and more like a episode of SNL.
Got it.
There is a runner sketch throughout the entire show, specifically the Iron Man heavyweight metal title, which can happen in any match at any point of the show, including other matches before the show and after.
Whoa.
Another thing the DDT is known for in Japan is the no audience anywhere shows.
I do that kind of comedy show all the time.
Much like a bar show, DDT will bar fans from going to their events and only invite Japanese journalists, where they will have a professional wrestling match in anything from a office building to a campground to a water park, to literally an empty baseball arena.
Cool. I'm going to have comedy shows where nobody's allowed, but only the press.
It's a brilliant idea. It is a fun watch, as DDT is known for being sort of a fun, good time promotion.
Fun, good time promotion! Yay!
One of the superstars of the promotion is Maki Ito. a former Japanese glamour idol.
Sure.
Who is known for being incredibly violent and abrasive towards people.
Cool. Do you have any specifics about that? Or is it just, this guy's violent. This wrestler's violent. Cool.
It's more that she was an actual Japanese pop idol before she got fired.
She was a singer.
She was a singer. She was part of a girl group.
And then, oh, okay, that's the interesting part. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
She was part of a Japanese pop girl group called Link before she got released.
And then became a violent professional wrestler.
And then became a violent professional wrestler.
That's fucking amazing.
She is known as the, she's sort of a rock star in DDT, and she's a wonderful performer. I recommend anybody listening to this, go watch a Maki Ito match. She is fucking amazing.
Cool. Homework.
More homework.
Do you have any?
All right.
Yeah.
So, let's see.
Tell me something else.
All right.
Hey, so I've heard about, like, are there any U.S. presidents who are really into wrestling or anything like that?
Well, other than the current sitting one.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's not think about that. He's taking the role of being a heel way too far.
Yep. Well, yeah, clearly.
This is all, this whole presidency, all an elaborate bit.
I mean, I really wish it wasn't an elaborate bit.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, that was sad. But, like, I don't know. What other cool historical figures have gotten away with, gotten into wrestling?
Well, one that a lot of people wouldn't know about is professional wrestler and 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. He was a... Wait. Tell me, when did wrestling in the U.S. start?
Well, wrestling in the U.S. Started around 1830, more as an export from France.
Andre the Giant's from France. I know that fact.
Yeah, that is true. Andre the Giant is from France.
Shut up. I don't know a lot of facts. Okay.
I mean, you did well.
Yay! So Abraham Lincoln is just this dude loves rolling around with sweaty men. So
I mean, in college, Abraham Lincoln was honored in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. He defeated the world champion at the time. Shaq.
Who is the world champion at the time?
Salem, Illinois. Apparently, he beat the shit out of him. Like, really beat him up. He was long-rangey, and he was also 21 and pissed off at the world.
Angraham Lincoln.
I mean, yeah, he was apparently a straight-up badass when it comes to the craps. He was sort of known for being a sportsman, and it was the first time that a future president would be what's called in wrestling a babyface.
Babyface, young man. Babyface, young man. I mean, what's a twink in wrestling? What's a bear in wrestling?
Actually, there is a wrestling term for wrestlers that, generally, it's straight wrestlers who present gay as to be, present gay or flamboyant in order to elicit a negative reaction from the crowd.
Oh, no.
In Mexican professional wrestling, these are known as exoticals.
Exoticals.
They are exotic professional wrestlers. Generally, they are...
They're gay for pay.
They're straight wrestlers that present queer, but there are well-known queer gay wrestlers in the lineage of exoticals like Cassandro, Maximo Sexy, who have recently, over the last 20 years, come out as homosexual and have been accepted as professional wrestlers, great professional wrestlers of that beyond exoticals.
Interesting.
One of the actually most well-known British exoticals was Adrian Street.
Yeah.
He came from a small coal town in England and became a professional wrestler because he never wanted to go back to a small town again. There's a great picture of Adrian Street in full Adrian Street gear. He looks like Ziggy Stardust David Bowie threw up on a Fabergé egg.
I need to see a picture of this. I'm going to look up that picture.
He is full gear, standing in the coal mine that his father worked, and the obvious disgust on his face that he
kind of like Zoolander, like that's
very much
like that scene in Zoolander.
Apparently, of that day, he said the only reason I returned to that town is to rub it into people's faces that I've made it out.
Yes. Cool. So, yeah. Got anything else to teach me?
Sure. Who was responsible for the first desegregated public event in Memphis, Tennessee?
Desegregated public event in Memphis, Tennessee. So would that be like the 50s or the 60s?
Yeah, that would be in the 50s.
Okay. Would it be like Vince McMahon, Daddy?
Not at all.
Cornelius McMahon. I don't
know. Not at all.
Hulk Hogan's grandpa.
Not at all. the first desegregated event in Memphis was the heavyweight title match. It was responsible by a man named Sputnik Monroe.
Sputnik Monroe.
Sputnik Monroe. Originally debuted as Rock Monroe. He was part of a traveling carnival before being named Sputnik in 1957. He cultivated an evil heel character, which at the time meant working and being seen with black people.
Okay. Wait. His character had to work with black people to be perceived as evil?
No. He decided to, in order to get the venomous hatred from the locals, he would be seen hanging around the black side of town. Tennessee, of course, was segregated at the time. And the story goes that while driving to a wrestling show in Alabama, Monroe met and befriended a black hitchhiker who he let take the wheel. When he arrived at the arena, he was told that his friend couldn't be in the arena. Monroe refused to perform unless his friend was allowed to enter the arena with him, which got fucking boos from the audience. In response, Monroe kissed the man on the cheek.
I feel like this now deserves like some Oscar-winning movie where you get like, oh, this has to be, this would be played by like Michael B. Jordan or, you know, Chadwick Boseman being like, I'm just a hitchhiker. I'm Sputnik Monroe, and I will hang around with black people so you know how evil I am.
Exactly. And it's like his idea, like, of course the story starts with him meeting the black guy at the gas station. And then the Monroe going like, you know, I could really use this. And then at first wanting to use black people as a tool to get himself over. In wrestling terms, getting yourself over means getting a response from the audience, either positive or negative.
Yeah.
When the audience pays to want to see you, you have gotten yourself over. Either as a heel, an evil character, the audience pays to want to see you lose. Or a face, a good character, the audience pays to want to see you. Monroe probably looks at his career as Rocky Monroe and decides, this isn't going anywhere, I'm having a hard time making money.
People ain't buying me as the face.
Exactly. I'm very much a heel, except nobody wants to pay me for anything.
Ah, then maybe you need to be a face.
Maybe. But nobody wants to cheer for me either, so.
Maybe you need to be an ass. Is there like a butt? Is there a penis?
Yeah, no. I would love a professional wrestling role where you are the penis. I think there's a professional wrestler who throws people around with their penis. He's called Joey Ryan.
Joey Ryan throwing people around with his penis. How does he do that? Does his penis have hands?
People grab his penis because they don't believe his penis is as strong as it is. Then they try to get out, but the penis wraps around their arm.
What? Is this a dream you had? Are you doing LSD without me?
Please, guys, Google Joey Ryan's dick flip.
This is awesome.
If you want to see Joey Ryan in action, it's a fun element. It's a fun and controversial element of professional wrestling.
This is great. That's fascinating. I think that is just about all the time we have for today's show, but it was cool to hear from you.
Thank you, Mara. It was wonderful to be on there. I hope you learned something about professional wrestling.
I did. I learned so much. Thank you, Benel. Where can you want to promote yourself, or where can people see your No Ring Wrestling Bar shows once quarantine is over?
We don't know. Brooklyn Battle Comedy is on hiatus until professional wrestling is back. But if you want to catch up with me and what I'm doing, look up Talking Naruto Podcast. It's available on all available podcast streaming networks. Talking Naruto Podcast on Twitter, Teen Naruto Podcast on Instagram, and please join our, and consider joining our Patreon, Talking Naruto Podcast Patreon.
Ooh. Good night. Bye.